Oh God.
Oh my God.
Look back, but
don't look back in anger.
Yeah, it's gross. Like cool kids don't look at explosions.
And you don't look at poops?
Yeah, I don't look back. I just hit flush and walk away. The plumbing situation's in God's hands now.
Now, God has not blessed me with that, so we might be in trouble.
Battery operated vagina.
Oh, right. Getting, yeah, level check.
I'm warmed up.
What did 8mm go up against the first time?
Bad Lieutenant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely a lesser of two evils win.
I still have fondness for that one, but I definitely understand
for why. Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah, I mean, I get
so why. Bad.
Well, the movie is worse than 8mm. I do not deny that. I think that Cage's performance is wilder and more fun. So it's another one of those, like, who the fuck knows how we actually decide how
what are we
works.
Voting
yeah,
for
exactly.
These days?
Sometimes we vote on performance. Sometimes we vote on overall movie quality. Sometimes ensemble. It's like, fuck it.
I mean, this was definitely one where I voted along the lines of I never want to watch Bad Lieutenant again.
Yeah, that's fair. I never wanted to watch 8mm again, and now I'm going to have to watch it another time.
You don't know that.
Probably.
We've been swayed before.
That's true.
But not by the likes of Adam.
No.
I feel like I have nothing to add to whatever's about to happen here.
Oh, you have plenty to add. Welcome back to Cage Match Colon, Roundabout Way, meeting Nicolas Cage. I'm your host, Sean, here with my co-host,
Nick,
and our producer,
Peter, hello.
And we have back for the third time?
Third time. I should have known that answer.
Our buddy Adam.
Thanks for having me back. Yeah, it's the third time because I did, in season one, I did National Treasure 2 versus The Wizard one. And then I did Primal.
Such a good film.
Versus a different movie. Actually, after what we watched, you know what? Yeah.
Primal versus National Treasure.
Was it National Treasure?
Yes. Oh my God. It was, yeah.
I did both National. Of course, I did both National Treasures. Thank you for letting me do both National Treasures.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Nobody had the gumption. It takes real courage to come on this show.
This is a show. I'm actually going to get this out at the beginning of the podcast this week.
I'm amazed. I love it.
This is a show where we take 64 Nicolas Cage movies and March Madness bracket style. Nick and I decide what is the cagiest film of all based on metrics that sway wildly.
Yeah, and I mean, what I really like is that this is a prime example of like how weird the bracket can be. Mm-hmm. Like, this is in the serious guy bracket, and we it's have two movies that are very dissimilar.
Yes, we have Captain Corelli's Mandolin, a romantic wartime drama, and 8mm.
A romantic wartime drama.
He goes through his own personal war.
At first, when I was watching these, I watched 8mm and I was like, oh, Peter Stormare, awesome. And then I was like, that's our connective tissue. He's also the Swede. And then I was like, no, he's not in Captain Corelli's.
No.
That was Wind Talkers. There's no common thread.
Nicolas Cage is in both of them.
Hey, there's our common thread.
Adam, why don't you tell us all about Captain Corelli's Mandolin?
Sure. Why not? A perfect circle because it was fucking pointless. There's nothing redeeming about this movie. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to say that. The set and costume design were all pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It had a banging cast. Penelope Cruz was pretty good, which I would normally never say. I've never been a big fan of hers, but I thought this was one she was pretty good in. Christian Bale was good. I was watching it this morning. I was at my, I've been at my friend's house this weekend taking care of his dogs. And I tend to watch almost everything with screenshots on. You remember the scene where they're unloading all the sandbags so they can blow up on the bomb on the beach?
Best scene in the movie.
And the guys are singing as they're unloading sandbags.
Men scatting.
Men scatting because they're singing in Italian.
I want to show you this one other picture while we're here.
Is that Rainn Wilson or is that old Nick?
Right.
It's about the same thing.
Yeah, I absolutely thought that was an age filter.
Yeah, I have to go through a John C. Reilly phase before I really settle into my Rainn Wilson elderly years. But
It's a good arc.
So I thought John Hurt did a fairly solid job, but really the best performance in the movie was
David Morrissey.
He was great. I thought he, I mean, you know, we're working on a comparative spectrum here because it's this movie.
So the best character was the Nazi.
The best performance.
The best character is the guy who gets the pee stuck in his ear.
Yes.
And gets it taken out and then wants the pee put back in later.
Movie has so much depth to it.
It's about an hour and 50 minutes between credits. And this took me maybe almost 3 hours to watch. I just found it very, very difficult. Nick Cage and Penelope Cruz have no chemistry on screen. He's just, that was not a good role for him.
You don't like his accent work?
No, I didn't like it.
I did like when he said, fuck off.
Yeah.
That was my quote from the first season.
I believe, yeah.
Was that his first line in the film?
No.
He said, Bella Bambino.
Oh, yeah.
Catcalls Penelope Cruz.
But the storyline just didn't make sense. If this movie had been made from more of a perspective of like we're doing a historical drama and there's a love story, maybe there would have been legs there. A lot of what they tried to portray apparently really, really happened. Like the earthquake also happened. Oh, fun. Because I was at my friend's house when he's out of town, he just leaves a radio station on for his dogs. And I didn't bother doing anything with that. So I listened to I just had the radio on as I was watching this. And during the earthquake scene in the finale, Blue Oyster Cult came on.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Don't fear the Reaper. Yes. Like, I mean, at the same time as the earthquake, like John Hurt falling down, the bottle breaking on the floor.
Just some ripping cowbell.
Yeah.
So just a quick reminder, what this film's actually about is
nothing.
What's the island Catalan?
California or something.
Italian, during World War II, Italian troops occupy this island. Grecian island. And Nick Cage plays Captain Corelli and falls in love with local...
Local mandolin Penelope Cruz.
Yes. What did I say? What did I say about this movie the first time we watched it? I was like, man, does she want to fuck that mandolin?
Yes.
I stand by it. Also, for this being about a movie about this man's mandolin, doesn't come into play that much.
Not a lot.
No. Maybe it comes in more in the book, but for the movie, they really don't focus that much on it.
They take the strings off of it to repair his broken arm.
Yeah.
But. Or maybe some broken ribs. There was a lot going on there.
Yeah.
He gets shot.
It was a rough day.
The way it was filmed, the setting, the script, the amount of music that they were incorporating could have had more mandolin, honestly. This script would have been great for a theater performance. Awesome. Yeah,
that's what this movie should have been, high schoolers.
At least the first two thirds of it.
But the last 20 minutes were the only interesting parts of it.
Yeah, this movie takes a hard turn into just wartime drama.
I mean, like, so does Sound of Music.
Doesn't mean I like Sound of Music either, though.
Fair enough.
I also haven't watched The Sound of Music since like the third grade.
And about the same amount of mandolin.
Same amount of singing, too. There's a lot of singing in this movie. The Italians are very cheery and singy. And
this whole thing felt like 20 separate one acts that all involved the same characters of the same story. But like there would be scenes that just happened without any lead in. And then the next scene had nothing to do with what had just happened. And we're never going to revisit that again.
There's probably some like master cut of this that's 5 hours long and all things are explored, but
that's the only reasonable explanation for what I had to watch today.
I forgot about it, but I noticed again this time when the Italians. Sorry, one second. I want to say that to you. Hey,
other dogs exist.
I get shot. Somebody do something about it.
Hey, if he gets shot, you want to join the podcast?
You've invited me back for a third time, but it's like you could do this full time if he gets killed.
We're all basically cogs that can be replaced.
We're not trying that hard.
How's your Photoshop work?
Come on, man. You're going to do that? I can barely use an iPhone.
So when the Italians are like flying over the island and the Italians like parachuting on the island,
oh, yeah,
is done really poorly. Bad. So when you have the paratroopers coming down, but they're disappearing behind the planes that are flying behind them, the scale's all fucked up. Again, this is my weird artist eye, so I just see these things that no one else pays attention to.
I didn't pay attention to that.
Actually, to illustrate how much I agree with you on that, when that scene was happening, I was like, these people, or are they dropping supplies here? There's no context for any scene in this fucking movie.
Then there's the big fight at the end for reasons.
Right, because they have to make him a sympathetic, like, Italian. Like, it's important to remember.
Italians aren't people.
Italians are not people.
I think I boldly made that declaration last time we watched this movie.
And last week, too.
We decided it's okay. It's not racist if they're Italian.
Actually, one of my biggest takeaways from this is the very last scene when he just shows up and she's like, I'm looking for Lemony. And he's like, oh, she's down over there. And he's doing the whole, like, I tried to live without you, but I can't live without you. And all I could focus on was his suit. The reason was because of when that movie was made. When we did the episode with National Treasure, and I was making fun of Sean Bean's suit being so overly sized, and Peter was like, it was of an era. And that's an, like, I sat there looking at it, I was like, another suit made by JNCO. And then I just heard Peter go, it's of an era. And it was like, oh my God, why are there no tailors? 25 years ago.
What I took away from that scene, this movie does one thing perfectly that no other movie we've watched has done. And this movie is the best movie because of it. Nick Cage gets a haircut between leaving the island and coming back several years later.
Yeah.
I hate when people have the same haircut for 7 years and it's the same length.
Do you remember what this movie went up against in season one? Because this went through is like,
oh, it was against Lord of War.
Lord of War was bad.
Yeah, that's one that I did not make it through.
I did make it all the way through both of these films.
That's literally the bare minimum
minimum for this.
This was a rough round for me, I'm gonna be honest.
The juxtaposition on these two movies is something else.
Listen, they can't all be bangers.
So
8mm has some bangers in it.
I was just thinking about how great of an idea it would be to just continue inviting Adam onto the podcast forever, but not actually doing the bracketed movies and not telling him just constantly worse and worse movies.
Season of the Witch. Like, and
I don't know how all of these keep making it further in the bracket, Adam, but we're going to need you to watch 211 and Pay the Ghost.
So have any of you like watched White Christmas recently?
I mean, no.
Okay. So I'll watch White Christmas on either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And then we just watch like Hallmark Christmas movies all night. But I watch White Christmas at least once a year. And
what is this movie?
White Christmas?
It's a little, you know, white supremacy movie from back in the day.
If anybody remembers it, it starts out in a wartime, and because it was made like 70 years ago, the set is clearly like just a painted backdrop and really bad lighting. And what they were trying to do to imagine what war might be like for people. And this movie reminded me of that. That it's just like all of it was filmed on a stage somewhere. And it's actually filmed on the island where all of this happened, I believe. And it's like, it was a gorgeous setting. And they still took no advantage of what they had. And they just, it was like a different director every scene.
I do enjoy a movie like this where it's like, okay, we have Greeks and Italians, but everyone's going to speak English. But just to remind you that they're Greeks and Italians, every once in a while, they'll say one word in a different language.
That really bothered me. Apparently, Ebert, one of his biggest beefs with this is like, a character said something in English with an accent, and somebody else said in English, what did he say? And then it was repeated in English, but in a different accent. And it was like, man, we're not trying here at all.
Mm. I really like that this movie had prostitutes in it.
Were they? Do we know that?
They had to have been. They were hanging out with Italians.
Ah, yeah. Jeez.
been a real quiet Mike night for Nick until right then.
Yeah. Like, okay, they do call them prostitutes. Uh-huh. So if they're paid to be there, like, is it just a free vacation, like all expenses paid thing, or are they getting paid by the hour?
It's probably like an expense account thing.
All right.
Wait, do you bill that to the government?
The Italian government, yeah. That's where most of their taxes go.
Prostitutes and cigarettes.
I was sort of trying to figure out while I was watching it, like, where's Nick Cage going to just do Nick Cage shit? And no, I didn't notice it when it was happening, and it might have been scripted. I don't want it to have been. But when the character, I think his name was Carlo, came in, he had been fighting in like Albania or something. And then they sent him over to this island, and he, like, Nick Cage's battery was admitted that, oh, we haven't seen any action. We're just hanging out on the beach, doing whatever we want, singing, because we all like opera. I was like, do you sing? And then just started singing and was like trying to bring him in, and like hand motions and like, oh, hand motions. Oh. And he just stood there silently. It's very possible that Nick Cage just did that, and the actor playing Carlo was like, I don't know what we're doing. Because he just stood there and stared blankly.
Either way, it's pretty good.
Carlo also seriously loved Captain Corelli.
I mean, through no like real reasons that we see, but
like when he gives Penelope Cruz the speech, is like, that you love him. You think without him your world would end, or whatever that speech is, like, you also love this guy.
Enough to die for him.
Yep.
Yeah, was he the human shield at the end? That's what I thought.
He's the biggest one.
Yeah.
The most absorbent.
Screw you. Bullet sponge is a term in video games.
So. Yeah, right.
Screw you, Nick.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I found the whole thing kind of disjointed. It was too many stories. None of them really fleshed out at all. And then there's just like a bunch of people just get murdered. Then there's an earthquake and then it's over.
Yeah.
I think this movie's... I don't feel as negatively about this movie as you do, for sure. But I think that the first two thirds of it are really the only parts of the movie that I care for.
Yeah.
It could definitely have just been a series of romps around the island and just make it a little more of a comedy. Yeah, that's weird, having a comedy about an Italian soldier during World War II and his prostitutes. But it would have been a lot of fun and I would have enjoyed it.
Parts of her were fun before. Yeah,
little, you know, bits and pieces. You get that kind of vibe with Mondras in a way. I mean, it doesn't go on a comedic route.
It's a little playful until, you know.
And his mom makes fun of his penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, his mom does make fun of his penis. Let's pitch different titles for this movie, because mine's The Cuckoldry of Mondras.
I didn't come prepared to play your games.
I don't have a follow-up for that.
Yeah, I think you just renamed it. Yeah. Done.
I did think it was a really stupid name for the movie. After I saw it, was like, I want to say I'd be curious to read the book, but my only reason for wanting to read the book would be to confirm my bias against the execution of the film adaptation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say confirm your bias against books. I knew it. These things are bullshit.
Okay, I can't remember. Does John Hurt have a voiceover narration at the beginning of the movie? Is it just at the end where they throw that in because they were done with this film?
No, it doesn't. It starts in media res with the P.
All right. So, yeah. So this movie just at the end is just like, and here's John Hurt kind of just hand wiping away the rest of the film. We're over now. But they kind of try that tied in with him writing a note to Captain Corelli, because she gets a record from Italy of the song he wrote for her.
But on guitar.
Yeah, which, like, what the fuck? You had one job, play a fucking mandolin. Yeah, the strings were inside his body. He couldn't play it.
I like, in the letter he wrote, like, I do not know if you are alive or if someone sent your record. And it's like, well, obviously he lived long enough to record a record, so probably alive. It's an odd film. And I didn't care that they were together in the end.
It also just doesn't make a lot of sense that they would have been.
Especially after that one lady got hung. Strung up.
Yeah. Like,
for the crime of liking a Nazi.
He was the captain of the Italian battery that was on a military, like, occupation of their country. there's that scene right in the middle where he's like saying something about the way he feels about her leaves him feeling hopeless or something, which is how I felt about the film and that scene. But like, and then they just sort of like fuck in the woods. And it's like, none of this makes any sense that this would ever happen.
I will say them fucking in the woods at 1.5 speed is hilarious. Highly recommend.
So that's, I had no interest in revisiting this movie, but okay.
Until now.
Yeah, I mean, when you said you were going to like 1.5 speed these films, I'm like, both these films would be great chipmunked.
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, you kind of get that vibe, but it also has sort of that like old school film vibe where it's like people trying to outrun a train or like a building falling and then they're just standing in the door frame.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So on the matrix of good movie, good cage, bad movie, bad cage, good, bad, bad, good. Auric, where do you place this movie in this cage?
I thought it was a bad movie, and I thought it was bad cage, and I don't think it was bad cage because of anything he did. I think just a bad casting choice that like there are actors who could have played that role, but a dramatic romance is not Nick Cage. It just did not work for me. If they had done his role like that Wally's Wonderland or whatever, where he just didn't say a word, maybe.
He does all of his speaking through his fingers.
Just, yeah. That's
exactly. Very Italian of him.
When he was talking about how hopeless he felt, and he was like, and he'd just written that song and played it for her on mandolin. It's like, my hands felt wooden. Ugh, this movie sucked. I'm sorry. This movie sucked.
Yeah, I agree. That's like, Nick Cage is not right for this role. And, or if you want to have this performance, this needed to be a more lighthearted screwball comedy.
Yeah, or more about war. Like that could have worked too, because then he could have like been a weird Italian army captain and like cage out and shoot guns and
Like if he went full fascist.
I don't know what you're trying to bait me into here.
I'm not. They're the Italians. They were part of the Axis. They were allies of the Nazis. Facts,
so
And are you denying these things happened?
Denying these facts about World War II?
That's another weird thing about this movie is you don't know. They make everybody into somebody you're trying to root for.
Except Mondras.
Yeah, fuck Mondras.
And all he ever did was stood up for his fucking island.
Yeah.
And get shot in the ass.
Yeah.
And tie his fiance to a chair for no reason.
Yeah, he is kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, they get engaged, and then at the party, he ties her to a chair and like pranks her.
Yeah, ties like the back ribbon of her dress around the ladder back of the chair.
He looks so chuffed about it, too.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good prank. Okay. But
Mondras does some fucking fantastic, like little hops and skips back before he goes to war the first time. He like is a joyful little child, and then it gets beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
The scene where he was introduced, when he gets shot by a bunch of rocks out of a cannon. The way it's introduced, because there's still all the smoke from the cannon fire, I thought that was Nick Cage, just because that's the only part where like somebody's like seriously screaming in a cage way.
He just like shazammed out of that cannon. Well,
yeah,
he's a genie.
It was like a whole bunch of rocks got fired out of a cannon as like a show. Like we're having this party, and then there's just like, oh god, it hurts. And I was like, this is a weird way to introduce Nick Cage, and I don't know how a mandolin's going to come into this. And then it's Christian Bale. It's Christian Bale and his bare ass.
The machinist himself.
Nick, what do you think?
I'm not opposed to Nick Cage's performance so much. You know, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen him do. It is not a good movie, though. Maybe, like I said, the first two thirds are fine-ish for me if I just leave them as what they are, but it's not a great movie. Good Nick Cage and I don't know, tepid movie.
You give that good Nick Cage, like
good enough.
I mean, I don't think, and you even said like, you know,
I thought we were rating this on cagey performances.
Yeah, I rate it on
rules all the time,
like how I feel.
Yeah. Okay, it wasn't the worst thing I've seen him do. Anyways, yeah. Sorry, Sean.
I think he did what he was hired to do for this film. I think everyone did.
Which is probably why it felt rare, because I don't think he ever does what he's hired to do.
He does occasionally have to think about getting another job, though.
Yeah,
that's true.
So let's talk about snuff films.
Yeah.
Adam, why don't you describe the...
describe your favorite snuff film.
Yeah.
Describe the plot of 8mm.
Oh, man. I watched this with Ramana, and both of us were like... both of us are... First time either one of us had seen it, and it was like, what the fuck? How did this get written?
It's especially odd when you think about that this is also the director of... what's the vampire film? Teenage Vampires.
Twilight?
No. Earlier than that, on the boardwalk. Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, yeah. Lost Boys.
It's, yeah, this is the same director as Lost Boys.
I think he's like a private investigator.
Yes.
See?
And some woman's looking for her missing daughter. It had been like 6 years or something. Sorry if I get some of these details wrong. And some of the evidence she had was, I mean, a snuff film that her daughter was in. And she was like, I can't be real. And Nick Cage decides to take it on. And then his wife
decides to take it off.
Catherine Keener does not take it off.
She really phoned this performance.
Dude, she's a good actor and she sucked at this. It's really bad.
She's great.
Oh, she's sweet. And she misses sweet, you.
But yeah.
And then he's
a wife that would make your husband rather stay in LA watching snuff films than come home to you.
Yeah.
So Nick,
that was the prompt.
Nick Cage starts trying to investigate this and finds himself getting deeper and deeper into the apparent seedy world of snuff films. And looking for what was the name of the character that had
the machine?
The machine. Thank you. Because you said machinist and I started laughing. No.
There's the connective tissue.
That's the closest we're going to get.
And I was like, that definitely was not Christian Bale.
awkward sex scenes also.
And then.
Yeah, okay. Gross.
And so kind of figures out that this girl had been murdered in a snuff film and starts trying to track down the people that did it and then decides like, I'm going to find them and I'm going to take retribution into my own hands. And then just it's kind of like I can see how it relates to Captain Crowley's Mandolin, because in the last 20 minutes of the movie, everybody just gets fucking murdered.
Yeah.
Like it just becomes a bloodbath, when before that it was like kind of an interesting concept of a film, I guess.
Yep.
So you had most of that.
That's all I care to remember about it.
He gets the job from the wife of like a deceased rich dude. And she was like, hey, she's old. And she's like, hey, I was going through my husband's things and I found this.
This is pornography.
You have to watch it and tell me it's fake. And then he was like, I can't say that it's fake, but I'll look into it. And I'll give you all the info.
That's right. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the scene where he calls the girl's mom.
Yeah.
It's just like,
tell me I can hurt them. Tell me you want me to hurt them.
That's a weirder way to introduce this whole story. It's just like a rich widow in a mansion.
Well, it ties in the involvement of the lawyer and like all this other stuff.
Yeah. Also, the sleazy lawyer from Kiss of Death.
Mm. So what?
And Peter Stormare from
Wind Talkers and
Rage.
Rage.
Yes, because he was in a wheelchair in that, right?
Yeah. Old Ironsides. If Jeremy Irons ever gets into an accident and has to use a wheelchair, I'm going to have the hardest time not calling him Jeremy Ironsides all the time. Yeah, like, I don't ever think or talk about Jeremy Irons, but if he was in a wheelchair, I would talk about him a lot for like 3 weeks.
You think Jeremy Irons is on Twitter? I'm going to tag him.
Old Jeremy Ironsides. Yeah, we should start like making a bunch of ableist comments towards him now. Just really taunt him for his disability.
His potential future disability.
100%.
Yeah, good idea.
All right, I'm here. I'm on it, guys. Let's do this.
So the thing that made me really hate 8mm was that I had never seen it. And it was
life changing.
It was made in a time when M. Night Shyamalan was culturally relevant. And so the whole time you just know that there's going to be a plot twist when it comes to the machine. And you just know and you know. And then you finally get the Scooby-Doo like stripping of the mask. And it's just the guy from True Blood who hadn't been introduced at all. And it's just another dude in the movie now. About to be murdered. He had like 20 seconds of screen time so disappointing.
He did some body work though.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
He has the softest,
we don't know,
plumpest flesh though. Like his body, like,
sorry, Chris Bauer,
just feels so, or it looks just so full.
And it's like, also, he's actually a pretty good actor. So it's, yeah, could they just only get him for the one day because he was working on something else? Because how do you get a good actor like that and just like
keep him in a gimp mask the whole time?
Yeah. He has like three lines before he gets shot. The movie's 2 hours long.
Yep.
And I spent like an hour and 40 minutes, like 100 ass minutes, trying to figure out who was going to be the villain that we've already been watching. Like, and it just was nobody.
I mean, it's rich people, I guess. Yeah.
Sure. Was that really the message they were trying to send with this movie?
I don't think so.
Rich people are always the problem.
Yeah.
They got all this fucking good ass porn they're not sharing. Making one-on-ones, not showing me.
Also, Joaquin Phoenix is in this movie.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix.
As Max California.
Best role in the movie.
He's fucking great. He's great in this.
Yep.
He's got a great death. Throat slit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. On that weird cross.
Yep.
Killed by the machine at the will of Dino Velvet.
Oh my God. So many great names.
Oh, okay. I'm still blown away by the like score in this movie. It's so off-putting. All the like really weird, aggressive kind of
it's
Wonder
very,
Woman
like,
music.
Yeah. It feels like racially charged music, like this is a movie about terrorism, but it is not.
I mean, like, to me it sounds like the music that Zack Snyder used for Wonder Woman scenes.
Same vibe.
Yeah. Terrorist.
I didn't pick up on that. Now
you have to go back and
watch it.
I still have it.
Yeah, you got it. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I still have it rented for another 24 hours. I could do it.
Yeah, dude. Who doesn't want to watch 8mm twice in 2 days?
I'm taking PTO tomorrow, I guess.
There you go.
You know, instead of doing my subject tank project, I'm going to watch 8mm. It's going neck deep in shit either way. Thank you, Sean.
Well, what did you guys think about it for this rewatch?
I still enjoy it.
It's a
lot of fun for me. I love just how deep and weird this world goes.
I'm sorry, Sean, did you say it's a good movie?
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
It's an uncomfortable movie, but that doesn't mean it's not good.
Man. I don't think it's a good movie. I didn't think
it was a good movie.
It lulled me into a place of security.
And then it stabbed you in the chest.
I felt good watching it.
Yeah, but that's because, like, I've heard at least two real stories of your life where you have just found bags of porn. So this is kind of, you know,
a dream world.
Like, okay, I mean, it's not a comfortable movie to watch, and it's about a lot of dark shit, but, like, the performances are good. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything about it's, like, actively terrible.
Except for Cage's wife.
Yeah, but she's barely in it. It's like, it's not overly, I mean, it's long, but it's not, I don't think there's a lot of wasted time there.
No, I mean, in general, I agree. I can't think off the top of my head of like, oh, these three scenes were totally worthless and could have been cut out entirely. I mean, sometimes you can really do that with these movies, but
everything about the baby could have been cut out.
There's no need for the baby. Yeah. I mean, there's the loose risk that Dino Velvet is going to do something to his family, but like, meh.
We don't need to know that his daughter's name is Cinderella.
Ugh.
But we do now.
I assumed that was a nickname.
I know. I know you assumed that. You assumed that last time too. But why use it in the first time that you address the child?
I don't know.
It only has to be her name.
But I always forget it's Cinderella by the end of the film because you forget about his family immediately.
Because there was no actual risk to them.
Yeah.
Because she's sweet.
Other than secondhand
smoke. She misses
smoke.
You.
I think this movie had a lot of potential. I think the story had a lot of potential. And I agree with you. There were some really good performances. It just felt like it was written during a writer's strike. I don't know. The script felt very like JV to me. Like it was.
It has the feel of like a true, like based on true events kind of movie where it's a lot of just like matter of factual scenes. Like this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Instead
that's
of it
good,
being like,
that's a good perspective.
Overly like
that's well said.
Dramatized, I feel. So it has kind of those vibes, and like I don't have a problem with that.
I think what this would have been better for me is if it had actually been like an 8 to 12 part TV show, like The Killing or something like that, where it's just a murder mystery spread over a long period of time, diving into the weirdo scenes in porn. You can bounce between different locations in the country without it feeling so fucking jarring. You know, I don't know. I think that would help this to not be a movie and be something else.
All right.
Yeah, I can agree with that. A quick, tidy miniseries. And I mean, I was disappointed mostly because I expected there, like, for a film like that to not have kind of a major twist in the third act was really weird for me. It ended like Lord of the Flies, where it's like, and then Nick Cage showed up and it was over. Like, it just sort of
ended. Is that how Lord of the Flies ended? It's been a long time since I've read that one.
Do you remember the Lord of the Flies episode of The Simpsons?
No.
The way they ended that episode was a narrator came over and was like, and then they were all saved by, I don't know, let's say Mo. And then it just went to credits. <right. laughs>
Well, and again, like, okay, so there wasn't, yeah, there's not really a big reveal or a big villain. He just goes down the rabbit hole and finds out who, you know, paid for the tape, which was the lawyer who dies. And then Peter Stormare, who filmed it, dies. And then he tracks down Gandolfini, kills him, and then goes back to New York to kill the machine. So there's not really like a villain other than just horrible people in the world. And so, and again, it has that kind of vibe of like more of a true crime, like, or based on true events, where you kind of like, we're not really here for a twist. At least that's what I got out of it.
I wish they would have done a better job for the audience setting up that you're getting yourself into more of a drama than like a psychological thriller. Because the whole time I was waiting for the, like, what's going to be the weird thing?
Okay. Did you have a favorite deviant? Yes. Really like the really tall, skinny, like, skeleton guy. He's your favorite too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With his little, like jock the garters
and stuff. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That guy's amazing.
Yeah. He really did a good job.
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Which purveyor of, like, sex did you appreciate the most?
Well, I mean, given the mask I'm wearing, I think that we can say the machine.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely came in full like machine garb today. Yeah. And I appreciate that. It took me by surprise when you voiced your opinions on the movie, but
I don't know that I don't know that I'm going to answer your question the way you might be asking it. Joaquin Phoenix was a really great character for me in this because I could never quite figure out if he was a good guy or not. I mean, there was like a lot of it. I was like, he definitely is doing some murdering.
you know, you think Max California's like,
but that's, I mean, that's how I had set myself up. Like as we were moving in through the film, that's I'd built my expectation that somebody was hiding something, and like a character that we were getting to know was really, really hiding something. So I thought he did. He was my favorite character in the whole movie.
Nick and I have watched this before, and I remember on my first watching, assuming Max California was going to kind of be on the wrong side of things at one point, but no,
just a decent
person.
Sleaze.
Yeah.
Nick Cage was really bad at asking after snuff films. He was just like going up to anybody being like, snuff
film?
You got snuff?
Yeah.
And everybody was immediately like, I'll fucking kill you if you say snuff. It's like, why don't you just say no, dude? We don't carry that. Right.
Got real extreme real fast.
What do you think this place is?
I do like a
den of filth.
Max California just being like a Paniculo de snuff.
Here's something that's real dumb, though, because I did not know what I was getting into with this movie. And I don't know.
That's why I wanted you to do it.
I don't know.
You're welcome.
I don't know anything about handguns. So I definitely thought this was going to have to do with handguns and not move. Like,
Oh, yeah.
Different kind of shooting here.
Yeah. And that's the thing now is I don't even know if there's like an 8mm handgun. There might be.
I have no idea. I don't know anything about handguns either.
I don't know anything about handguns.
Just about snuff.
We're looking at you, Nick.
I mean, more popular is the 9mm. I don't think there's an 8mm.
What's your cop audience like?
I would guess our cop audience is very low.
Hey, if anybody out there is a cop, you got to drop down in the comments and tell us.
That's required by law.
Yeah. One comment per cop, please.
Yeah, I had
keep it orderly.
I had
drop a mustache emoji in the comments.
I had no clue what I was getting into with this movie. I kind of remember when it came out. And actually, I think it came out around same year, maybe, or thereabouts as Snake Eyes.
Yeah, it's Snake Eyes is 98 and this is 99.
Yeah. And I had seen Snake Eyes in the theater. And that's the only time I've seen Snake Eyes. But I actually couldn't remember. And thought I might be watching that again. So it was like a total, like,
I did the same thing the first time around.
And then I was watching it with my wife, who is an appropriate level of discomfort with snuff.
What a square.
Can you define that for me? Yeah. Just so I know where I stand in this.
Nick wouldn't want to say anything rude or untoward about this.
Before I get into my Bailey's morgue file,
like she's teaching herself watercolors. So she's like painting my family farm in watercolor while we're watching this movie together. The whole experience was weird, guys.
Watercolors are a wildly inefficient way to paint a farmhouse.
Well,
those things are large. You're going to go through a lot of watercolors. And you're not going to get good coverage.
You're an idiot.
I had one thing, one request, Nick, for this, because this came out in 99 and we were talking earlier this week about how movies of this era had raps.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to freestyle a little rap about 8mm.
Yeah, off your dome.
Yeah.
Wait, you freestyle? I've known you for years.
He spits fucking fire, dog.
I thought you were learning to bake during COVID. You freestyling? You threw a bag of bread at me over my fence because we couldn't get near each other in 2020. Yeah.
I'm not going to pursue this.
That's fair.
Just like, you know, most things I take up in life, I won't continue to pursue them. No, I'm not freestyle rapping.
Okay. Very disappointing.
What did I?
That's the most I could have hoped for out of that bit.
Why am I using PTO tomorrow? Then I came over here with the promise that I was gonna get a Sparkle Buddy.
I need a cool down period after I watch 8mm because it's hard to get back into my work pants. The front's real tight, and so I gotta take a day.
I will say, I watched this on Thursday, and I actually fell asleep. And
what part?
I fell asleep with about 25 minutes to go. And I woke up right at the end, and Ramana was like, "You're gonna have to go back. There was the reveal.
Everything changed.
We find out who did it. We know who the machine is." And so I go back and then I watch it, and I was like, "So the machine is just some dude?" And she was like, "I know, it's so dumb." It's like, she like,
the machine was the old lady.
She did such a great job of building me up to thinking like, "Oh shit, I can't believe I fell asleep. I gotta go back." And like nah, it sucks. It's all gonna come around
the whole time.
We're gonna tie this up into a nice, tidy little package.
The real villain, I guess, was the lawyer, which I could have told you.
Yeah. Lawyers are bad.
Yeah.
Cop adjacent.
Yep. So on the spectrum of good movie, good Cage, bad, good, good, bad, 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 good, good, bad, bad, good, bad. Where do you put this?
Even though I didn't like it, I'm going good, good. Like it. I don't want to really watch it again, but I misunderstood what it was supposed to be, and I also kind of went in thinking it was Snake Eyes. that one's on me. I take responsibility.
How did you think this was a G.I. Joe movie?
I think for me, I don't like this movie that much, but I agree. I liked it more this watch than I did the first time. So I will say good, good, because I do think Cage does a good job, even though he's really not that cagey in a major way. It's just a better performance than Corelli's.
And a better movie.
That is also true.
And weirdly, more mandolin.
And they fuck this one.
Yeah.
I'm still very positive on this movie. I like it. I'm still good, good. I think the things that I dislike the most about it are all wrapped up in the wife and like his relationship, like him gaslighting her in the beginning, being like, smoking, I'm not smoking, you're crazy. It's like, that didn't have to be.
None of that plays out.
Nobody
for any
cared
good.
About your relationship with anything other than porn.
What was like, is there an explanation for why there was a weird and unnecessary focus on cigarettes in this movie?
Oral fixation.
Oh yeah, sucking and fucking, buddy.
Don't forget chucking rocks.
No, sucking and fucking and chucking rocks and
ass to ass. Hello, Trent.
Fucking dildos.
No, I think this is a good movie, and I think it's a great performance. Great performances all around. I mean, it's not something I would normally seek out in terms of like my normal movie watching experience, but it's one of those ones that I'm like, I don't know what I expected from this going in, but it's like, this is just good all around. All right, Orc, which one would you put forward knowing that your opinion matters nothing to us?
I mean, probably Snake Eyes.
We already eliminated that.
Yeah, what did Snake Eyes lose to?
It's not too late for you to vote for Primal. You can still amend your mistakes from the past.
You know what? Having to watch these two movies this week, I agree that I probably should have put forward Primal, because now I've seen these.
I mean, you would have still seen these if you put forward Primal.
It's. I mean, to me, it's clear. Like, the only choice is 8mm. Captain Curly's Mandolin is just. The only redeeming qualities is they, I don't know, got John Hurt to be in it.
I mean, my vote is definitely 8mm. As I don't hate Corelli. Like, from what I heard about the movie before watching it, I expected Corelli to be just absolute dog shit. And I'm like, it's not great, but it's not like, it's not so bad that it's like funny. It's just there and it's fine. But 8mm is a very strong movie, strong performances, great directing. Overall, just.
And
good movie.
Keep in mind, Sean, that I don't have the like scar tissue that you all have built up for having watched this number of Nick Cage movie. It's a lot. It's a high volume of Nick Cage. So I can see where you'd be like, Captain Curly's Mandolin, there's some redeeming qualities where, like, man, if you're not as invested as Nick Cage's or into Nick Cage as you are, it's pretty ungood.
I mean, the second episode being Army of One really ripped that Band-Aid right the fuck off.
It's tough when you meet perfection so early so in the process. Honest.
That one is one that every time we go back to, I'm just like,
listening.
I like it more.
Listening to you guys talk about Army of One and the Rapture movie that he did. And there's there's a 9/11 one in there, too. That is like
allegedly.
Exactly. And just like, how
now even the movie is a conspiracy. It's like, I don't even know about that.
Soon enough, our episode won't even have existed.
You need to delete the episode. Like, I'm of all platforms. I'm very much an 8mm guy in this. I think when Corelli's did something well, it did it well. Like, it had some cuteness to it. It had some interesting characters. It managed to like keep me kind of watching it the whole time, but I don't think it really ever sold me on being worth my time. While 8mm, I'm just very much into. And, I'm interested. I like it.
And to your audience, I'll say just very personally, just from me, having been on a number of guys' weekends with a lot of people, and including the members of production team of this podcast, I will confirm Nick's point that he's an 8mm guy.
That's so small. It's like just a little mushroom head. There's a little button sticking out of a bush.
Mondras's mom's gonna make fun of it.
That's true.
Just a mushroom nestled between two boulders. Just poking out.
So there we go, 8mm.
8mm.
What do we got up on the docket next
All
time?
Right. Peter? Well, get ready for next time because it's your birthday and we want you to have fun.
It's your birthday.
Dinner's killing everyone.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah.
It's Willy's Wonderland and Wild at Heart going up next.
That's two vastly different Nick Cage performances.
Totally.
Willy's one. What did I said like Wally's World earlier. that's from the original Vacation.
Yeah, that's right.
Willy's Wonderland is what I meant.
We'll just cut that in clean.
Yeah.
I'm not doing shit. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We are on social media, cage_match_pod or cagematchpod. You can support us on Patreon. And if you want to, you can join and be a Sparkle Buddy like Josh, Sean, Josie, Rico, Matt, and Adam, and Bill. Almost forgot that one.
Bill!
And the next year up is the Cage Dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, and Nathan. Thank you all for your support.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Thanks for coming.
You want to promote anything? Snuff?
Well, I don't know where you can find me.
Just flash your lights at any truck stop and Adam like just pop up.
I got a couple consultation opportunities popping up. One of them might be in Ireland. I don't know.
Ooh. All right. Well, we'll see you in Ireland, folks.
Yeah.
It was nice having you as a friend, but I think borders are going to be where I draw the line.
I'm not moving.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I think it turned out pretty well.
Yeah, I think so.
We still have to mint goon coin, though.
Just make it out of a... Just draw it on cardboard. We'll just get a hole punch in a Sprite box.
No.
Squirt box.
Gross. Yeah,
do they still make Squirt?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they still have Squirt. You can't get rid of Squirt. Can't keep Squirt down.
The country of Mexico would revolt if you tried to take away Squirt.
That's what that looks like.
The microphone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks like a microphone.
Sure does.
It just has
a foam hat.
Oh, I could definitely get all that in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird when you like get close to it and you like kind of stare at it and then your eyes kind of cross and you're like, should I put it in my mouth? No.
Yeah, this is one of those ASMR podcasts now.
My loosely shaved chin.
Yeah. People are definitely going to masturbate to this episode.
You're absolutely welcome for that.
People already masturbate to this.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Okay, so this is my first male dog, and I've never had a dog that I've had to get fixed, but did they clean up down there?
What do you mean?
Like when they remove the stuff. Because
do they just leave like a loose sack?
Well, because that's what Brian was saying. Like they didn't do a great job with at his dog's neutering. Mm-hmm. And he's like, they just kind of left stuff.
That's repulsive.
I mean, if you go to a good vet, no.
Okay.
You're coming in at a good time.
That's the first thing you'd say when I'm
Ugh, that's repulsive. Orc is here.
I mean, we're talking about dog ball sacks, so we're not too far off.